So we're here with Yawala Awoyale and Musa Bamba, two senior researchers at the Linguistic Data Consortium who are working to build databases for less commonly resourced African, specifically West African languages. Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Yes, we're okay.
Excellent. So to start off, could you both explain the road that took you to the LDC and your current research tasks?
Okay, I go first.
Okay.
I had been teaching Yoruba and linguistics for many, many years in Nigeria before I came here. And I realized that we didn't have any dictionary of the type that I could use in the classroom at the university level. My initial area of research was in the group of words we refer to as idiophones in African languages, and I wanted to build a dictionary of that. So when I came here, Mark Lieberman, our executive director, said, rather than work on idiophones, why don't you work on the whole dictionary? And I was really excited about it because I thought that was very unique. So that was how we started. And it wasn't quite clear exactly what it would involve or what it would take. But when we started, the solution became clearer and clearer. And we got the first version out in 2008. Right now, what we want to do is to accumulate data that we could use for further work in tree banking on the Yoruba language. And then we would also do an audio recording of all the lexical entries. We have about 142,000 Yoruba entries in the database that we want to record. So that's there now. But presently, I'm doing a lot of conversation recordings that would enable us to move the work further. That's how far, that's what I'm doing right now. And the conversations will be transcribed into Yoruba and then translated to English and set in terms of parallel
text.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing now.
Excellent. And how about you?
I arrived here from University of Quebec at Montreal after my thesis. Dr. Mark Lieberman, I benefited from a grant to come and do my postdoc at IRCS, where Mark was working. So when I arrived, I worked there for the first years in 94, from 94 to 96, when this dictionary project, with the arrival of Iwala, started. And we both, Mark asked us if that was something interesting for us, and we said yes. And this is how it started. Now, concerning the Mandeng languages on which I work, it's a set of dialects. It was considered as 14 before. They have reduced to few now, say, I think 7 or even less. They are working on it, reducing. And I am particularly interested in Mokaka, which is the dialect I speak, my native language, Maninkaka, which is one of the main languages of the, Bondo, and Bamanankan, another one that is very important. And I had also to work on Wojenejula, but I have, given the time and things, I think somebody else will come and do that when I'm not. For the moment, I have published the first version of Mokaka, which is now even exploited, I think, by Lego, and I think they are proposing a web version of the thing and all those. I have almost finished working on the Maninkaka dictionary. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'm working at the same time on Bambara, but the Maninkaka is the one to be published, and then I will be, concluding with Bamananka. So this is how we are now, but the project itself is not limited to the dictionary, because the dictionary is not, is just part of the project. We want to make a database of both languages, a database with all the written material and all the, the things we can record on the ground there, and then come work on them, make them, available, and that can contribute to enrich the dictionaries, at the same time to provide something on the net. People who are interested in those languages can always go to first when they want to work on those languages and make their research easier than before. That's the goal. But for the moment, I'm working on the dictionaries, and I hope when we finish this step, we will benefit from something and go on the field, collect stuff. We have started that here. He has started already so far, but I have to start that also, asking people. Who work, taxi drivers, hair braiders, and people who are living here now, they are part of the society. How? And who speak the language well? And ask them to relate their story here or things they can, they came with from their countries and we record and work on them, translate them, and then make them available as data for people interested in working in the languages.
Mm-hmm. In collecting these samples of speech, what sort of techniques do you guys use?
The technique is, I think, is the same as certainly you use, but in our case, you have first to make time. People here are so busy, everybody is. So you ask the person to make time for you. When the person accepts, you have also to, you have to insist on the importance for the language first, for the culture. Show the person you are interviewing that what you are doing will make his language and his culture known, well known outside of of the country where the language is spoken. So when you decide that and they see really the importance of the thing, they will say, okay, what kind of story or so. That's when you try to pick, because there are some stories you can't get much from them, but some others, when you make the person comfortable, he will speak longer and once that confidence is there, you can really record a lot of things. But before that, they always think it's, here people are just running and everybody is trying to survive. So you have to make them comfortable, show them the importance of the thing. And once that is done, you can record something from them. Mm-hmm. So this is how we proceed. It's not easy, but each person has, you have a way of going towards in order to make the person comfortable and accept to give you, you know, some time. Once they do it once, sometimes you can go for a second time, or they themselves know the importance and they see that they are contributing to make their, you know, own language more important. But it's not easy sometimes to do that.
My present goal, I want to be able to get, bottom line, 50,000 words. If I can get 100,000 or 200,000, that'd be my pleasure. Because for the tree banking exercise, we will need a lot of data to be to do it. I thought originally that I could use written material, maybe taken from newspapers, but then because the data was not mine, I would run into serious legal problems doing that. So we did some work on the less commonly taught languages with entity tagging and things like that. But the material that we used, taken from newspapers that I bought from Nigeria, it would require that we would either have to pay for that. So that's why we turned around now I want to collect my own data that I would own. But my focus, when I started, my focus was on contemporary Yoruba. And then when people got to know about what we were trying to do, they said, no, it doesn't make sense for you to work on Yoruba of West Africa because you have these huge constituencies who, though they don't speak what we call normal Yoruba now, they will be interested in that because the morphology and the grammar of Lukumi, of Nago, and other things like that, you have to, you know, go back to the Yoruba language of West Africa. So when we now talk about the constituencies where Yoruba is spoken or is used, you have West Africa, and then you have the diaspora. Mm-hmm. The diaspora now is broken into two groups. You had those ones who came as a result of slave trade. And then you now have the 20th century
immigrants
spread all over now. So you now have Yoruba in the United States, in Canada, in UK, in Germany, all over to Japan, New Zealand. It's growing wider and wider every day. But the people in the other part of the diaspora, their own speech had been influenced heavily by Portuguese and Spanish. And so you have Lukumi, which is a liturgical dialect in Cuba. And then you have Nago in Brazil. Those ones are far removed from what we now call contemporary Yoruba. It's almost like Latin now to the Catholics for that. When I came here, I was surprised that it survived. And we were trying to find out what happened. Why did it survive? Because the Yoruba people were not the only ones who were carried as slaves. The issue of slave trade spread from almost from Guinea or Senegal all the way to Angola,
Ghana.
It's a whole stretch there. So how was it that it was the Yoruba language that kind of survived in some form?
And the others didn't?
And the others did not. Mm. So, what we found was that the Yoruba religion, which they brought, was quite powerful. And that was a very strong factor in the survival. So that when you look at what we now call Candomblé, when you look at what we now call Santeria, when you look at Odunde here, basically, it was that religion and that culture which enabled some version of the language to survive in the face of, I mean, Spanish would not have allowed it to survive. English would not even have allowed it to survive. And Portuguese would not even have allowed it to survive, because the slaves that were brought they had to change their names. Okay. So some managed to remember something about it, but it took so long. It happened such a long time ago now that they could not go back to Africa and say, okay, I came from here. Mm-hmm. But what happened was that in the we suspected that slave trade brought some babalawos, some priests along, which made the religion and the culture to survive. And of course, with the religion and the culture, you then have the motivation for the language, which is the medium to survive. And I guess that was precisely what has happened. So I believe that LDC would be able to make a huge contribution by bridging the two groups.
Mm-hmm. I think your argument is very strong, because the other language, African, West African language, mm-hmm. survived to that migration was the language of Fon in Benin.
In Benin.
When you go in Haiti, mm-hmm. they still in the their voodoo, you know, celebration, mm-hmm. they speak this, because I have a friend, had a friend in Montreal who told me, he said, I listened to that thing. All the preaching is in my language.
And
they don't understand even what they are saying. But
Fon and Yoruba are neighbors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's from the same area. Because you have what now corporate in Nigeria, and you have been a republic where Fongbe is spoken.
So the religion aspect of it must be really the reason why those languages
and what
passed through the time.
What the people in Santeria did, which and we have concrete evidence for this, was that they have been able to blend a version of the Yoruba religion and a version of Catholicism. So all the Catholic saints, the saints in the Bible, had their equivalents in Yoruba traditional religion. Because you had the divinity in charge of power, electricity, health, childbearing, government. You know, we had divinities for all those things. And so when they look at someone like Paul, they will find an equivalent and say, oh, okay, this is this one, and Peter, and Christopher, things like that. So they had all that. They had, and you now have... we have Oshun, who was a female divinity, and over here they found another. So for Saint Mary, for all those things there. So while the Catholics were doing theirs, the Yoruba slaves presumably were doing theirs too, and they would go to the same church. Yeah, and so when they were praying the name of this one, they say, oh, "Okay, it's in that one." So, we found out that the Catholics, before the Spaniards would know what was going on, it was too late. So there was no way they could stop it. And then we had some of the interviews that we did. Somebody was telling us that, there was a merging of the health system. That if you had headache, okay, if a Yoruba person has had headache in the past, you know, you have a system of treating it. And so when the Spaniards had their own problems too, they said that some of the slaves were telling them that, oh, if you combine this herb and that herb and you mix that, that will give you that will heal you up. And that they had tried some of this and found that, yeah, it worked. So there was that relationship which became inevitable, mm-hmm. for the two groups to survive, and both the Portuguese and the Spaniards, you know, learned from that experience, and so they managed to accommodate each other over time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So do you guys have any closing thoughts or thoughts on the future of your research?
Okay. I think the future of this is if we can finish with the dictionaries and record those texts and work on them, make them available. Some certainly before even I retire from here, I will try to make somebody interested in from my country or somewhere to the languages I'm working on, so the person can come and try to continue with the work started here. Because I'm sure later what LDC thought about will be necessary for everybody. But everybody will benefit because the technology being there, it will be easier to do what LDC has done, now in these circumstances. But LDC is like a pioneer in both kind of thing. When Mark told us, you will be working on dictionaries, I had no idea what, how you do a dictionary. But when we started, it became more important, and I noticed that a linguist working on dictionary is more efficient than somebody certainly who is graduated in some kind of literature or something like that, because you understand how the language works, and when you are doing the dictionary, you know exactly what somebody who wants to learn the language we need. So that was a big plus for us, because I'm sure he wasn't working. He was working on ideophones, but I don't think he was thinking about a big dictionary like this. But when we started, really, I think it was exciting. The more the time passes, the more you are attached to it, and it's a really big thing we have realized, I think.
Mm-hmm. My dream for the language that I'm working on is to be able to move the language in the direction of other developed languages. Tree banking is just one part of it. Given the global economy, machine translation will also be something that we can do if we have the infrastructures put in place. And then, of course, the teaching of the language. I mean, language pedagogy is something that's what I spent my whole life working on. And I believe that what we're doing here at the LDC, hopefully when we're done, would enable us to provide the resources for language teaching, at least Yoruba language teaching, anywhere in the world. Because what we are doing, I'm not trying to boast or brag about it. It's just that there is no other place, either in Africa or even in the US here, where concerted effort is put into the development of the languages. Mm-hmm. Researchers are there who would use the languages for research and publications and promotion and things like that. That's it. But to be able to commit both efforts and resources to it, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It's unique.
And all the expertise that we have here at the LDC put in under one roof, I don't think you can get it anywhere else. The other thing, of course, is that I'm hoping that if he can work on his own set of languages, the Mandarin languages, and I work on Yoruba, Other people, other scholars may also want to pick up their own languages and do that.
You know,
in other words, if you can show that, yes, it can be done for this language, why not for the other languages? But that will mean that we have to do it very well. We have, Musa and I have to own this thing. You know, we have to have, we're not here just to earn our salaries and walk away. It's part of our life.
Yeah, if it can really, you know, trigger something.
I see it as a vocation, you know.
I think Mark had thought about it.
Yeah.
At a certain time, we went in the Ivory Coast.
Mm.
So he told me, at the time we didn't know there would be war or something going on there, but he told me, maybe we should open something here. You come for half a year here, and then the other half you go there. So you teach them how to make this kind of dictionary, and at the same time you can teach classes there. And when you come, you work on the things you have collected, and then you know, we add to our database. So that was the plan. But as soon as we left, those idiots started you know, fighting each other for political reason, and now that everything is a thing, I'm sure it will restart. And if it's restart, we can, even he and myself, we can have a base there. We go and try to, you know, train people who will continue feeding, you know, what is being done here. And from time to time, maybe when we are tired, some people, LDC can contact some people who will come and replace he and myself and continue working on those things. And it's really an exciting project, but I'm frustrated that it can't go faster.
Mm-hmm.
It can't go faster. I'm really frustrated. And when you look, people are talking the languages when we go to the conferences and things, you see people talking about machine translation, these things. And your language is even not written properly. That's frustrating, really frustrating. And the only hope, I think, a language like man has to survive is what we are doing here. Because the thing will be like a pioneer language, and other people will be interested, even larger language with more, you know, speakers will be interested and say, ah, this tiny language is important. Everybody is talking about. So some people will be interested in working on their own languages, and that's the only way I see the future of our languages which were not written.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had, I think it was 79, I recall, in 1979, mm-hmm. we went for harmonization of the alphabets, because there are a set of languages spoken in the area, and in Bamako, we went and worked on those things. And 1979, I'm not talking about, you know, the 100 years earlier, but just now. And when you look at that, it's really frustrating, and we have to do something if we don't want many of those languages just to disappear in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I think our goal is the goal defined by Mark. I don't know how he did it, but he had defined it. And if it continues, I think it will be a big thing. And LDC will be the pioneer. I don't think there is another center, you know, doing this kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So
Excellent.
That's it.
Well, I think that's about all. And thank you guys for sitting down.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.